For this morning, we are in John chapter 8. You know, I think a lot about that memory verse, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and unsearchable things. And I think about how many people don't know Christ. They don't know the Lord. And they don't call on Him. And they don't have answers to their trouble. And they look for the world to tell them the answers. And they look for whoever the latest guru is. And they buy their books and they read them up. And I've said this before. I've never understood. Years ago, there was a woman that was selling a marriage counseling book, you know, and she had been married 5 times. And she would go on these talk circuits, and, you know, she'd on this talk show and that talk show, and people would say, well, why would anybody listen to you? You've been married 5 times. And she says, yes, but I know all the mistakes. And I'm thinking, that's the best the world can do? I can tell you all the mistakes so you don't make them. No, that doesn't give me any power not to make those mistakes. That still doesn't tell me the answer. Because there's so many more mistakes that you haven't come across yet. What are you going to do, write another book when you figure those out? Liz Taylor, every time she would write a book, everybody rushes out to buy Liz Taylor's latest book. The woman was married 7 times. Are you really going to get wisdom from her? Why do people seek out knowledge and understanding from people who don't have it and cannot have it because they are in darkness? If I'm in a dark room, stumbling around, I don't grab onto someone else who's in a dark room stumbling around and think that they can lead me out. I find somebody with a flashlight, right? I find somebody with a lantern, with a torch, whatever they have, their cell phone for crying out loud. Put some light on it so we can find our way out. I'm not going to depend on you. You're not going to depend on me. Let's both depend on the light. You see, so many times we think we depend on the person with the flashlight. We don't depend on the person with the flashlight. We're depending on the light that comes out of that flashlight. The person's no smarter than I am. They might be a little older. They might have made more mistakes. They might have a little bit of worldly understanding, but in the end, they still need the flashlight just as much as I do. Now, they may know how to follow the flashlight better than I do. Show me how to hold the flashlight. You know, don't stick it in your mouth. It won't work that way. Oh, but it looks cool. Yeah, but you can't see. You know, they may have some little tips that they can show me, but it's the light I have to follow to get out of the darkness. In this passage today, Jesus describes himself as the light of the world. Folks, the only way out of darkness is through the light that Jesus gives. You don't follow a preacher, you don't follow a person, unless that person is Jesus Christ himself. Go to the first slide. I don't even know what's coming next. Good. Scripture. Will you stand with me? This is a short passage today. We will continue this passage next week and look at the larger context of what Jesus is saying here. But we are just going to start in John chapter 8, verse 12, and we are going to end there today. Jesus said in John chapter 8, well, the scripture says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. Pray with me. Lord, we call to you. Call to you, Lord. Please answer us. Show us great and unsearchable things today. Show us what it means that you are the light of the world. Show us what it means that we don't have to walk in darkness, Lord. Show us what it means to follow you. Please. Lord, answer us. and show us these great unsearchable things, so that your light will shine through us and others will see it, so that we will be like that city on a hill, with your light coming forth through our lives, and people will know you're the true God, the Lord and Savior of all, and they will surrender to you and not be in darkness any longer. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Will you please be seated? You know, there's some things about darkness. The Scripture describes a life without Christ as darkness. Go to the next slide, guys. I don't know about you, but when it is dark, it seems that fear is able to creep in. Do you remember after, take your pick on the hurricane. Do you remember after Isaac, the last hurricane, or after Katrina, take your pick, how long we were out without power? Remember what nighttime is like when you have no power, beside the fact that it's hot as blazes? Did you try to go use one of your bathrooms without any light in there? Forgetting that there's no window in the bathroom. And you walk in. You know, when I was growing up, we had windows in our bathroom. I never understood why you would put a window next to the shower. Well, you know, open the window while you're taking a shower to, like, say hi to somebody. I never did quite get that. But our bathrooms now don't have windows. And when there's no power, it gets pretty freaky, weird in that bathroom. And then when you bring a flashlight in sometimes and you hit the mirror with it, you don't know what's going on. There's two of you in there. But darkness, you know, there's all sorts of things in the darkness. When you're a kid, you're scared of the dark. You just know the dark's not fun. There's something about the darkness that I don't want to be in. And your mind conjures up all sorts of horrible things that might be there. Strikes fear in you, the dark. Keeps you lost. Finding your way in the dark, not too fun. Not fun at all. Walking around in the pitch black when the moon's not even out. Get yourself a little turned around, have no idea what's going on. We used to go down to the beach when I lived in Florida, St. Pete, and we'd go down and it'd be so dark down by the beach, down by the water, when there was no moonlight, that you literally couldn't see where you were going. You could hear the waves and knew they were somewhere in front of you. You stumble around in the darkness. Lost, you can trip and fall, stub your toe, all sorts of things. We weren't made for the darkness. Right? These eyes that we have, cats, they're made for the darkness. Okay, just a little scientific fact. There's things in your eyeballs called rods and cones. We have a lot of cones. That's good for light. You get to see colored vision. Okay, and those of you who are colorblind, your cones aren't working right. Okay? But that's what they're there for, and it's the most serious and clear vision you can have is cones. And it needs a lot of light. Rods, we don't have as many as a cat or a dog, but especially cats. Cats have a lot of rods. They don't have any cones. By the way, that's how we know cats and dogs can't see color. You've ever wondered why they joke around that cats and dogs see in black and white? They don't have cones. They can't see colorful things. But cats have an extreme amount of rods. And so they have extremely good vision at night. In the middle of the night, when our cat needs to go out, we don't use a litter box for our cat. We have the strangest cat in the world. She asks to go outside. She demands to go outside when she's really got to go to the bathroom bad, too. So in the middle of the night, if she hadn't been put out before then, comes into our room and wakes me up. I'm out of bed. It's pitch black. I'm stubbing my toe. I'm running into a wall because I'm not even awake. I can't see a thing. And then I go to the front door, and I don't even know if she's there or not because I don't have my glasses on. I just open the door and hope that she just left and then close it back and go back to bed. I have a feeling the cat just stares at me laughing. She's made for the darkness. I'm not. I was made for the light, physically and spiritually. God did not make us for darkness. That's Satan's kingdom. God didn't make us for that. We chose that by our sinful, prideful nature that we were born into. But we can choose His kingdom. The Scripture says we go from darkness to light. Well, what is it about the light? Well, you add light to a situation, it destroys your fears. You know, you sit there, not knowing what's in the shadow, scared to death. Well, take the light and put it on the shadow and see what's there. No, I'm afraid. Well, would you put the light on it, for crying out loud? It was a sheet. Wasn't a boogeyman. It was a coat hanging on a coat hanger. Wasn't a man there with a knife. In the darkness, you conjure up all sorts of fears that only the light can take care of. The darkness flees when the light comes. The light can destroy our fears, but we have to choose to use it. The light allows us to see our ways. We stumble, we stub our toe. If we just turn the light on, we'd be able to see where we're going. But we've got to turn the light on. We've got to use the light. We've got to turn that flashlight on. We've got to actually hold it out front. The light keeps us from stumbling, and it helps us to see things clearly. Think about ships lost in the night fog. Way away from the coast, their bearings are lost, they can't see, they don't know where they're going. How do those ships find their way to the shore? A lighthouse sends a bright light out, and the ship has to follow the light. What would happen if the lighthouse sends its light out and the ship decided, no, I'm going to go this way instead? Would they go anywhere? They have to see the light and follow the light in order to safely come home. It's not enough just to know the light's there. They have to choose to follow it. Light helps us see things clearly. It's an amazing thing. When you're staring at something in the dark, and then you turn the light on and you realize what it is. I told you before, I have a pair of dress pants. I have no idea what color they are half the time. I don't know if you have anything like that. They're kind of brown, but they may be black, and I got some black pants, I got some brown pants, which I don't remember which these are. And if you use a little Sharpie and try to put it in the band, eventually that washes away, so I still don't know what they are. And sometimes our room is like a cave to me. We just can't get enough light bulbs in there, and there's nowhere in the house I can really see these pants. So I have to go outside when the sun is shining. And one time I got all dressed up thinking they were black, walked outside, had black shoes on, black belt and everything. I have brown pants on. Got to go start over. You can see things clearly in the light. But you got to take it to the light to see it. I lived for 26 years almost in the darkness. The day I gave my life to Christ, all of a sudden I saw things clearly for the first time in my life. Things I would have sworn to you were true, I found out were absolutely false. Things I thought were false turned out to be absolutely true, and overnight it seemed, everything came into in this passage, Jesus says that He is the light. He says that we don't have to live in darkness, and we must follow Him. First, Jesus is the light. He said, I am the light of the world. It is a great thing. I challenge you to do this. Read the Gospel of John and go through all the statements that Jesus says, I am. One thing He says is, I am, and He just leaves it at that. This is before Abraham was, I am. The Father says, I am, in the Old Testament, doesn't He? When Moses says, who should I say is sending me? The Lord God says, I am. Tell them the I am sent you. You go, what? Well, God says, I am. I'm everything. Whatever you can put at the end of that statement that is big and majestic and amazing and loving and pure and holy, I am. See, we have to add descriptions when we say what we are. I am this, I am that. No, no, no. God just says, I am, and that's that. He said enough. He said it all. And so Jesus says this too. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. We'll get to that passage in a couple years, by the way, we go through the Gospels. But he also gives us other descriptions of himself. I am the bread of life. I am living water. I am the light of the world. He is the light. All the descriptions that we have of him let us know that he is the ultimate. Here he's talking about being the light. And over and over and over we see in Scripture, I've just given you a few passages, there are many more, this description of Jesus as the light. In John chapter 1, verse 4 is up there, and I put it on your sheet so that you can look at it later, but I want to read you a few verses here. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. We're talking about Jesus here, using the name the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Scripture tells us plainly, Jesus is the light. He is the one who created all things. There's nothing that's been created without His creation. And He is where we find life. He is life, and He is light in the darkness. He also tells us, in John chapter 9, verse 5. John 9, 5. While I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. He tells them to seek that light while they can. Matthew chapter 4. The gospel writer here is quoting from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which is foretelling the Savior to come, that He would be a light to the Gentiles, that the people living in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. When Jesus says, I am the light, He is telling them, A, I am God. B, I am the light, the Savior who was foretold to come. I am the light. In Revelation 21, we find out more about the light of God. It's an amazing statement. We find out that when the new Jerusalem descends on the new earth, and there's a new heavens and new earth at the end of times, setting things up for the rest of eternity, for God's people who are saved through the blood of Jesus to live with Him for all eternity, giving us a picture of what this is going to be like. And let me tell you, when you read it, it blows your mind. But we find that there's not going to be a need for candles. There's not going to be need for flashlights. And there's definitely not going to be a need for the light from the sun or the moon. It says the city, the holy city of God, where God's people will dwell, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Think about all the things that come with darkness. For those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior, have surrendered to Him, have followed Him, they will never have darkness for the rest of eternity. When Jesus describes hell and the lake of fire, now picture this. Jesus talks about those who don't know Him, depart from me, I never knew you, that they will be thrown into the lake of fire where there is unending torment and unending darkness. And I have no idea how fire can burn and not show any light, but that's what Jesus told us will be. For those who follow Christ, eternity will be in His light for all, forever. For those who reject Christ, eternity will be in torment and damnation, in darkness, forever. By the way, Satan will not torment people in hell. Satan will be tormented with people in hell. But Jesus is the light, so why don't we go to Him? He lets us know we don't have to live in darkness. He says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You can choose to live in light. You don't have to live in darkness. What a wonderful thing to know that is. I know people who think there's no way they could ever be good. There's no way they could ever be righteous. There's no way holiness could ever be part of them because they are just not that way. They'll tell you, I'm just not that good of a person. There's nothing I can do. I might as well just embrace the darkness. I might as well just embrace the evil. I might as well just live for all there is on this earth. That's simply not true. You believe that? You're believing a lie of Satan? And he has got his hooks in you, and he has twisted your mind in such a way, because Jesus says you can live in light. You don't have to live in darkness. Those who follow him will not live in darkness. Period. Will not live in darkness. You know, it's really hard to fall into the shadows when you have a flashlight that you're following. It's really hard to walk into darkness if you're walking under the light. That's why Jesus can say, you're not going to live in darkness if you follow me, because I am the light. And if you're in the light, you can't be in darkness and light. It just doesn't work that way. In John chapter 12, he says, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, we find the Apostle Paul telling us, for you were once darkness. Notice he doesn't even say you lived in darkness. You were darkness. Boy, you thought you were just in darkness. No, you were part of the problem. You see, those who live in darkness want everybody else to live in darkness with them. You were darkness. You were trying very hard to hide the light from others. I've had people tell me who don't know Christ, I want to be a good role model. I want kids to look up to me, and I tell them all you're going to do is send them to hell. Don't you understand? You can't be a role model if you don't have Christ. Because in the end, you're going to teach them you can be a moral person without Jesus, and they're going to go to hell for all eternity. Darkness will only breed darkness. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Colossians chapter 1 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful promise Scripture gives us. We don't have to stay in the darkness. Don't have to walk around stubbing our toe. Don't have to walk around jumping into sin. Don't have to. Don't have to. Now, whether you choose to go back into darkness, you don't have to. Finally, in order to know the light and live in the light, you've got to choose not to walk in the darkness. You have to choose to follow Jesus. He says, whoever follows me. Now, be very careful here. Because in our country, and I'm sure it's in other parts of the world too, but in our culture, In order to be considered a Christian, all you have to say is that you are a Christian. I mean, we have this society where whatever anybody tells us, we just believe, okay. You ever talk to somebody for a long time and totally believed everything they said, and then later you thought about it and realized they were a schizophrenic? Have you had that experience? I have. I've been in these conversations and went, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. That's horrible. One of my students would talk about how people were breaking into her house and how they were planting things in her computer, and she had to take a knife and pop all the keys off her keyboard to find somebody had bugged her computer. Okay? And she found out it was the FBI after all this kind of stuff. And oh my goodness. And then I realized later I had conversations with her and she told me, you know, I'm a schizophrenic. That explains it. You know, I thought so. Okay? She said, yeah, I'm coming to school because my doctor and I, you know, we think that having a regular routine will help me. Because I asked her, I said, do you really think you're going to be a nurse someday? She said, no, are you kidding me? I'm a schizophrenic. But yet you get pulled right in and you don't see it coming. And people will say things and you'll believe it. But simply making a statement, I'm a Christian, doesn't make it happen. Simply making a statement, I have been loving the Lord my whole life, doesn't make it true. Jesus says you have to follow Him. There's a huge difference from walking an aisle, bowing your head, saying a prayer, to actually following Jesus. There's a huge difference from turning on a light switch and actually staying in the room when the light's on. There's an enormous difference from knowing that it is a flashlight and actually using the flashlight and committing to following the flashlight. Huge, huge difference. He said, whoever follows me, will never walk in darkness. Now, if you're living in darkness, I have a suggestion. Maybe you should try following the light a little bit and give up on the darkness, because you can't hold on to that darkness and follow the light. Jesus says, put your trust in the light while you still have it, so you may become sons of light. Go to the next slide. John chapter 3, Jesus said, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. You want to live with the lies that the world tells you? I can't tell you how many people who profess Christ will argue with me over and over and over about what truth is. And I'll say to them, why don't you just read the Bible, for crying out loud? Well, Oprah told me this. I don't care what Oprah said. I don't care what Dr. Phil said. I don't give a flip about these people. It's not that I don't like them. Just why would I go to them for knowledge and understanding when God gave me His Word, the truth? Jesus didn't say, whoever follows the psychologist will know things. No, He said, whoever lives by the truth. There's a reason why we say the Scripture is everything. There's a reason why we say, I stand on the Word of God. Because Jesus says, you got to know the truth. The truth will set you free. He is the truth. He is the Word. And the written Word of God is a reflection of Himself. Do I want to walk in the light? I'm going to go to the truth. I'm going to believe it over anything my emotions are telling me. How about that one? This whole emotional thing we got going over the last couple decades. Have you noticed our country has gotten more and more, everything's based on your emotions? It doesn't matter whether you have any understanding at all. Well, I feel this way. Great! Oh, good, we're going to listen to you. Yeah, I'm going to listen to you because you feel strongly about this. Doesn't matter that you don't have a single fact. I don't care what my emotions are telling me. I don't care what others are telling me. If the Scripture's telling me the opposite, it's out of bounds. If it feels good, do it. No. If it feels good, check the Scripture to see if you're allowed to let it feel good, because that feeling may be straight from Satan trying to hook you in. There are some great, great things scripturally that feel unbelievably wonderful. Like understanding the forgiveness that Christ has given you when you blew it. Oh my gosh. Do that. Romans 13, the Apostle Paul says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Now notice this list here. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, and in dissensions and jealousy. Now, have you ever stopped to recognize that jealousy and orgies are in the same passage? I don't know if there's anybody in here that would participate in orgies, but dissensions and jealousies, I'm sure you jump in all the time and don't think twice about it. The Apostle Paul puts it together with orgies. Oh my gosh, orgies! Yeah, well, what about the dissensions and jealousies? He puts it in the same sentence. You're supposed to live like you're in the light. Walk away from the things of darkness. Follow Jesus in the light. Go to the next line. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Let me ask you, how are you going to find out what pleases the Lord? Read what He gave us to know. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather expose them. I challenge you to go to this passage, Romans 5, and read the entire context of it. Go to the next slide. You walking in the light? You know the light? Is it a thing that you know Jesus is the light, or do you know the light? Big difference. Are you following Him? Are you turning from the darkness, recognizing that you don't need to live there? You don't want to live there? You're seeking out the light so you can live there? You're seeking to walk in Him? I don't mean, are you trying to impress other people with how good you are? I mean, are you really seeking out the light so that it is making its way to the darkest parts of your heart and then shining forth from you? One of the greatest experiences I know is when someone comments and says, wow, you're a good man. What I tell them right away is that's not me. But praise God, you saw the light of Jesus in me. I'm not a good man. But Jesus is good. And when I saturate myself in Him, He can't help but let His light shine through. People see that light because you're living in the light and you're following Him. Walk away from the darkness. Will you bow with me in prayer?